country during the last year. Meanwhile, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah has carried out yet another retaliatory operation against the Israeli regime, targeting several positions, including the occupied port city of Haifa. Hezbollah said in a statement that it struck the cities of Haifa and Qarayat with a large salvo of missiles. According to Israeli media, over 85 rockets were fired, describing it as the heaviest barrage on the city up until now. Earlier, Hezbollah carried out a drone strike on a gathering of Israeli soldiers at the al-Baghdadi outpost in northern occupied territories. Resistance groups said that the target was hit accurately. The group has conducted a flurry of retaliatory operations since early Tuesday morning in defense of the people of Lebanon and in support of the Palestinians. Meanwhile, Hezbollah has vowed to continue its anti-Israel operations despite the regime's intensified aggression against the country. Hezbollah's Deputy Secretary General made the remarks in a televised speech. Sheikh Naim Bassem said the group has overcome the current blows inflicted by the Israeli regime with its bombing campaign. The top officials said martyred commanders have been replaced and the group has intensified its anti-Israel operations. He reiterated that there will be no room for any discussion before a ceasefire. Naim Qassem stressed that the regime's losses will increase with the continuation of its war on the Lebanese front. He also said attempts to return settlers to the northern occupied Palestinian territories will fail. A Hezbollah official also said the group will elect a new secretary general based on the group's organizational mechanisms. Iranian President Masoud Pezeshkian says those who claim to support human rights are actually backing the barbaric Israeli regime, which is committing massacres across West Asia.
States in Europe have placed a barbaric government in the region, and those who claim to support human rights defend it. The regime doesn't observe any human rights. It easily bombards women, children, young and elderly people.
Pezeshkian made the remarks during a speech in Tehran, making an apparent reference to the Israeli war in Gaza that has expanded to Lebanon. The Iranian president said Israel doesn't adhere to any law and continues with its campaign of killing. Pezeshkian stressed the importance of unity among Muslims to thwart the enemy's plots. The comments came a day after the first anniversary of Israel's genocide war on the Gaza Strip. Iran's foreign minister has warned Israel not to test Tehran's will, saying any attack by the regime on the Islamic Republic will be met with a harsher response.
The Islamic Republic of Iran does not want to increase tension and war. Although we are not afraid of war, we are fully prepared. If they want to test our will, as I said, they can. We are ready for any scenario, any situation. Our armed forces are fully and 100% ready, and they have identified all the necessary targets. But our policy is not the policy of war and continued tension, although we are ready for it.
Abbas Araghchi made the remarks in the opening of a conference in Tehran, the beginning of Nasrallah. Araghchi noted that Iran is continuously monitoring Israeli actions and will neither hurry nor delay in responding to them. He reaffirmed that Tehran will continue to stand by the axis of resistance to counter Israeli crimes. Later in the day, the Iranian foreign minister traveled to Saudi Arabia's capital, Riyadh, the first leg of his regional tour. Araghchi will be meeting with officials of several neighboring countries to discuss the Israeli aggression against Gaza and Lebanon. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq says it has launched fresh attacks against Israeli targets inside of the occupied territories. The umbrella group says it used advanced Arab cruise missiles to attack five targets in the center and the north of the occupied lands. The Iraqi resistance has intensified its attacks on Israeli military targets from the Jordan Valley to the port of Haifa and beyond. The resistance group conducts the operation in support of Palestinians and Lebanese civilians. Islamic resistance in Iraq has once again vowed to continue its anti-Israel operations. And now to Yemen, where the armed forces there have launched a series of attacks targeting Israeli-occupied cities of Tel Aviv, the port city of Haifa, and the port of Eilat with hypersonic missiles and drones. Our correspondent Yusuf Mowry brings us more.
The Yemeni armed forces have launched a series of missile and drone attacks against the Israeli regime. The latest strikes come on the first anniversary of October 7, a day that will forever be marked in Yemen as a day of defiance against the Israeli occupation of Palestine.
With the help of God Almighty, the Yemeni armed forces conducted two military operations as part of the fifth phase of the escalation. The first operation targeted two military sites of the Israeli enemy in the occupied Tel Aviv area using two missiles. The first was the Palestine 2 type, which successfully reached its target, and the second was the Zulfaqar missile. Both operations achieved their objectives with precision.
The Palestine 2 missile is part of Yemen's hypersonic missile arsenal, developed and manufactured in Yemen. It is said to reach top speeds of nearly 2,000 kilometers per hour, allowing it to strike targets in Israel from Yemen in under 12 minutes.
There will be many surprises ahead from the Yemeni armed forces, just like the development of the hypersonic Palestine 2 missile in a very short time period, something most nations are unable to achieve. Therefore, whoever can develop such an advanced weapon will certainly be able to develop even more powerful missiles.
The continued Yemeni attacks against Israel from air and sea are part of the fifth phase of military escalations declared by Ansarullah leader Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi. Although Yemen has exceeded military expectations, the introduction of even more advanced state-of-the-art weapons is expected in the coming rounds of military escalations in support of Palestine.
Well, October 7 was not going to be concluded in Yemen without a bang. The Yemeni army launched a hypersonic missile targeting Tel Aviv to remind Israelis that genocide will never be accepted or tolerated. Yusuf Mowry, Sana'a.
Well, the EU's foreign policy chief says the situation in Lebanon is worsening every day and a ceasefire must be achieved immediately. Joseph Borrell says nearly 20% of Lebanon's population has been displaced amid growing tensions in West Asia. Borrell urged for an immediate ceasefire to prevent further humanitarian deterioration. The World Health Organization, WHO, has also issued a warning about potential disease outbreaks in Lebanon due to overcrowded shelters and the closure of multiple hospitals. A WHO official noted that diseases like diarrhea and hepatitis A are highly likely to spread as the healthcare system is severely overstretched, with five hospitals already shut down. Weeks of Israeli attacks on Lebanon have killed more than 2,000 people, many of them women and children. More Palestinians have lost their lives amid Israel's genocidal war on the Gaza Strip. At least 25 more Palestinians have been killed in central Gaza. Residential buildings in the north and the south of the besieged strip have also been hit. Israeli aggression against Gaza began in October of last year, and since then, nearly 42,000 people have been killed and over 97,000 others injured. More than 10,000 bodies are buried in the vast destruction of downed buildings from Israeli attacks, meaning the death toll is far higher. An estimated 70% of the dead in Gaza are women and children. We've talked to our Gaza correspondent, Moti Abu Musabe, who provided further details regarding Israeli attacks across Gaza. Let's take a listen to what he has to say.
Let me begin with the middle area of Gaza Strip, whereas over the last night, the Israeli warplanes targeted and destroyed a populated house in Al-Burj refugee camp, killing at least 16 Palestinian civilians, mostly women and children. Many of the Palestinian dead bodies are still believed missing under the rubble of that house. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery shelling was maintained heavily against the northern part of Al-Burj and Anusarat refugee camps, respectively. All the night, the Palestinian people in all areas of Gaza Strip have been hearing more vehement explosions resulted in from the Israeli attacks against those areas. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces continue to detonate and blast more residential buildings and houses in the northern part of Anusarat and Al-Burj refugee camp. The situation is still catastrophic. Needless to mention that the Israeli occupation forces issued more evacuation orders for the Palestinian people in those areas, demanding them to evacuate and deflee those areas into the so-called humanitarian zones. However, the Israeli attacks also continued against the tents taking shelter by displaced Palestinians, particularly in Al-Burj refugee camp, whereas over the last night, another tent was hit by the Israeli fighter drones, leaving at least two Palestinian civilians dead. And in addition to that, scores of injuries were reported as a consequence of the attack.
Meanwhile, the Venezuelan president has described Israel's war on Gaza as savage and insane, saying the crimes committed against Palestinians are the most horrific since the time of Hitler.
That the most high-tech warplanes in the world, which Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, and the Netanyahu regime have, are dropping the most destructive precision bombs in the world on apartment blocks. What do you call that? A war? That's called a genocide, a war of extermination.
In a televised address, Maduro highlighted the brutal killing of civilians, including 27,000 children in Gaza. He also criticized Israel's use of lethal weapons against residential areas, labeling the actions as a genocide. He warned that the conflict risks spilling over into other regional countries. Recently, the Venezuelan foreign minister also reaffirmed his country's solidarity with Iran, Lebanon, and Palestine in the face of what he called Israel's state terrorism. Last Friday, Ivan Gil met with the Arab community in Venezuela, as well as ambassadors and diplomatic representatives from West Asia, to discuss the ongoing Israeli crimes against Palestinian and Lebanese people. Well, let's cross over right here in the capital, Tehran, talk to our correspondent, Gisu Misha Ahmadi, who's standing, I believe, on the ground at Palestine Square, where there is another protest. So, Gisu, please tell us what's going on.
Well, Marcia, it's been about 3 hours now, and behind me, the rally is still underway in Tehran's Palestine Square. This time around, it seems that the protesters are more adamant in making their message heard, sending a message to the world. And the interesting slogan this time around is the beginning of the end of Zionism, and that is what they're calling, and they have been calling for the past 3 hours as they gather here in Palestine Square to send a strong message of support to the people of Palestine. We had a number of military officials who also attended this protest. It was very interesting to see them also turning out and talking about the importance of martyrdom and what martyrdom means in Iranian and in Islamic culture and in the culture of the resistance front. I had the opportunity to talk to one of the officials who took to the podium, and he pointed to the fact that martyrdom in the rhetoric of the resistance and in the culture of the resistance front is something that makes it stronger, and he pointed to numerous instances as to how martyrdom has led the resistance to become the strong front that it is today.
And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsetodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsetodayEnglish.
In the limelight.
France's President Emmanuel Macron has told European leaders the European Union is falling behind the United States and China because of overregulation and underinvestment. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Telegraph has covered this story and tells us more. The European Union could die unless it makes itself more competitive with the United States and China, President Emmanuel Macron has warned. The French president said the European bloc was overregulating and underinvesting. He was speaking at the Berlin Global Dialogue event. Washington and Beijing both outstripped the European Union in economic output and investment, he said, before calling on the bloc to complete its banking union package of financial rules. Member states also needed to press for global trade rules to be kept fair, he added. President Macron said the European Union could die. We're on the verge of a very important moment. He added, our former model is over. We are overregulating and underinvesting. In 2 to 3 years to come, if we follow our classical agenda, we'll be out of the market. Emmanuel Macron's remarks echo some of the findings of a landmark report by Mario Draghi, the former Italian Prime Minister. Mario Draghi's report demanded a wider industrial strategy for Europe involving €800 billion in annual investment to prevent the European Union from falling behind the United States and China. President Macron called on the European bloc to do more or risk becoming irrelevant. In April, President Macron called for more integrated European defence and warned that the bloc could not become a vassal of the United States when it came to security and the military. President Macron said, "We are not equipped to face the risks." He outlined his vision for a more assertive European Union on the global stage. Mario Draghi's report also called on EU governments to spend big on joint defence projects because they could no longer rely entirely on the United States. Some EU governments fear that a second Donald Trump presidency will pose a risk to NATO if Donald Trump wins November's US election. The Republican presidential candidate had earlier said he would allow President Putin of Russia to do whatever the hell they want to any NATO member country not hitting the defence spending targets. In 2019, President Macron famously referred to NATO as brain dead. He said that Europeans could no longer rely on the United States to provide the European continent with a security umbrella. The British newspaper The Daily Mail has also covered the same story. President Emmanuel Macron has admitted that the European Union could die as he issued a dire warning about the European bloc's economy. The French president told the Berlin Global Dialogue event that the European Union was overregulating and underinvesting. He also pointed out that both China and the United States outstripped the 27-member nation bloc in economic output and investment. President Macron said, "The European Union could die. We're on the verge of a very important moment. Our former model is over. We are overregulating and underinvesting. In 2 to 3 years to come, if we follow our classical agenda, we will be out of the market." President Macron has called for member states to continue to pursue the banking union package, which aims to ensure the banking sector in the Eurozone and across the European Union is stable, safe and reliable. His warning comes after a report written by former Italian Prime Minister and former European Central Bank Chief Mario Draghi. Mario Draghi issued another damning warning. He said, "Europe cannot compete alone with the likes of China and the United States and needs a far more integrated single market to create pan-European businesses of the required global scale." Mario Draghi's report also suggested a wider industrial strategy for Europe, involving €800 billion to prevent the EU falling further behind China and the United States. Defensively, as well as economically, President Macron is also calling for the European Union to move out of the shadow of the United States. Back in April of this year, the French president called for greater integration across Europe in matters of defence. He warned at the time that the bloc should not become a vassal of the United States when it came to security. Similarly, Mario Draghi's report also said European Union governments need to spend much more on joint defence projects. This follows claims from the Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump that he would allow Russia to do whatever the hell they want to NATO members who aren't hitting defence spending targets. Website Politico has also covered the same story. Washington and Beijing are leaving the European Union lagging behind, according to French President Emmanuel Macron. President Macron said, "Our former model is over. We are overregulating and underinvesting. In 2 to 3 years from now, if we follow our classical agenda, we will be out of the market." President Macron's warning came during a panel discussion at the Berlin Global Dialogue meeting on Wednesday, 2nd of October. He said, the EU could die. We're on verge of a very important moment, he said. The French president argued that Europe is lagging behind the United States and China on key files such as climate change, artificial intelligence, defence and security matters. Former European Central Bank President Mario Draghi raised a similar warning in a report published in September of this year, saying that the EU faces an existential challenge unless it radically transforms its economy to enhance its competitiveness. President Emmanuel Macron said he fully supports Mario Draghi's conclusions and that Europe should rush to implement them. I think this is quite true. We are at risk, he said. They invest much more. They are much more in advance, he said, adding that looking at gross domestic product or GDP per capita in the past 3 decades, the United States delivered an increase of 60%. Europe only delivered an increase of 30%. And it's not sustainable, and the social model that we have, President Macron added. The French president argued that to be competitive in today's multipolar world order, the European Union should deepen the single market and simplify its regulations. If we want clearly to be more competitive and have our place in this multipolar world order, first we need a simplification shock. Talking about trade, the French president said that if China and the United States do not respect the rules of the World Trade Organization, WTO, the EU should not respect them either. He said, 25 years ago, we thought that with China joining WTO, it would comply with the laws. It is not the case. President Macron added, in 2022, the United States also decided not to be compliant with World Trade Organization rules relating to the Fishing Regulation Act. And he said, as I have suggested, when both US and China do not respect the rules, we should not be the only one in the room to just abide by the rules. This doesn't fly.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, your host for today, or this edition of the program Gate of Knowledge, in which we, talk about or summarize some points and the key concepts of different portions of Nahjul Balagha, the peak of eloquence. This is a collection of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, alayhi salam, or peace be upon him, the first Shiite Imam, and superficially the fourth Caliph after the demise of the Holy Prophet, peace and greetings of God be upon him and his holy household. As you already know, these texts, Nahjul Balagha, the peak of eloquence, showcase Imam Ali's profound wisdom, eloquence, and insights on theology, philosophy, politics, and ethics. One of those, parts or sections of Nahjul Balagha is the sermons that we decided, in fact, to focus on and in general. And in particular, I wanted to point to the third sermon of Nahjul Balagha, the Peak of Eloquence, which is somehow otherwise known as Khutbat al-Shakhshariya. This sermon is about the dissatisfaction expressed by Imam Ali, peace be upon him, about the political leadership of the time, or of his time. Well, it is very much significant, so much so that, it tries to convey a strong message about the unity of Muslim community and the importance of acting against injustice. Before we delve into the sermon, let's take a short break and then we'll be back and continue our program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
Nahjul Balagha, also known as the Peak of Eloquence, is a compilation of sermons, letters, and sayings attributed to Imam Ali, peace be upon him, the cousin and son-in-law of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings be upon him and his pure household. Regarded as one of the most authoritative sources of Islamic wisdom and knowledge, this book reflects the profound insight and spiritual teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on various matters, including ethics, morality, governance, and spirituality. The eloquence and wisdom exhibited in this speech and teachings within Nahjul Balagha have made it a timeless masterpiece that continues to inspire and guide Muslims and non-Muslims alike in their pursuit of truth and enlightenment. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
Back to the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio, in which we try to focus on a summary of the third sermon of Nahjul Balagha, the Peak of Eloquence, attributed to Imam Ali, which is about Imam Ali's dissatisfaction and discontent with the status quo, especially politically speaking. Well, the text of the sermon begins with a lament about the state of disunity among Muslims after the passing or the demise of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace and greetings of God be upon him and his holy family. He says, they took to the right and the left, he's referring to the people, leaving the straight path. Well, this opening statement is a direct critique of the disarray and factionalism that emerged after the Prophet's demise. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, often emphasized the importance of following the right path, the straight path. In other words, the path of justice, the path of truth, and the guidance of God. The straight path is, as understood in Islamic tradition, is the balanced and righteous way of living that avoids extremes. Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is criticizing those who deviated from this path, highlighting that they either turned to extremes on one side, represented by indulgence in worldly desires, or un-Islamic innovations, or to the other, represented by asceticism or extremism in matters of religion. Let us actually take another break and then we'll be back and continue discussing more about these main ideas and key concepts of the third sermon of Nahjul Balagha. Stay with us.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, was a reserved scholar and historian who played a crucial role in compiling the sermons, letters, and sayings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, into the book Peak of Eloquence. His dedication to preserving the teachings and wisdom of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has ensured that future generations have access to the profound insights and spiritual guidance found within Nahjul Balagha. Sayyid Razi's meticulous work in collecting and organizing the speeches and teachings of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, has solidified his place in Islamic history as a key figure in preserving and dissemination of this timeless masterpiece. All of this is presented to you in the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
Back to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, your host today. I'm going to summarize the key concepts and the main themes of the third sermon of Nahjul Balagha, the Peak of Eloquence, tributed to Imam Ali. Well, the second point that I would like to point out is the straight path and its symbolism. Imam Ali's use of the straight path, or Sirat al-Mustaqim, has deep Quranic roots. The Quran frequently mentions the straight path, especially in the daily prayer, Al-Fatiha, right? Where Muslims ask God to guide them on this path. In this sermon, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, is subtly reminding the people that deviation from this path leads to societal disunity and the weakening of the Muslim ummah or nation. And as for the discontent with the leadership, I want to add, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, then moves to express his dissatisfaction with the political leadership that followed after the Prophet or the Prophet's demise. He states, they have passed over the sources of water. In other words, they have abandoned guidance and have plunged into the sources of destruction. Here, water is used metaphorically for guidance, purity, and sustenance. Let us, in fact, ask God to give us the tawfiq and succor to continue this in the upcoming episodes. And that's it for this edition of the program, Gate of Knowledge, on IRIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this edition. Thank you very much for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه. Iranian Radio Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
in the limelight.
The fast approaching end of a racist terrorist entity supported in its crimes against humanity by the most lethal U.S. weapons and hundreds of billions of dollars of the American taxpayers' money for razing towns to rubble and brutally slaughtering the innocent is a reality that cannot be denied. Regarding this issue, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Please stay tuned for more. Kahan International wrote, "The illegal Zionist entity is at its wit's end in view of its crimes in desperation in Lebanon, where it has so far indiscriminately massacred over 2,000 men, women, and children, while continuing its genocide in Gaza and committing growing acts of terrorism in the West Bank of River Jordan, in addition to attacks on Syria and Yemen." Usurper Israel, which earlier this week was the target of a barrage of at least 180 Iranian missiles that wrought extensive damage to three of its major military air bases, carefully avoiding any casualties, since Islam does not permit the killing of civilians, will not last long. This fast-approaching end of a racist terrorist entity, supported in its crimes against humanity by the most lethal U.S. weapons and hundreds of billions of dollars of the American taxpayers' money for razing towns to rubble and brutally slaughtering the innocent, is a reality that cannot be denied. These and other facts regarding the strength of the axis of resistance were pointed out by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in his historic Friday prayer sermon in Tehran, where he presided over the regular weekly gathering of the faithful after almost 5 years. Millions of the pious and patriotic Tehranis had assembled to pray behind their beloved leader and listen to his sermons at the sprawling Imam Khomeini Mosalla in defiance of the threats of war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu to attack Iran. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei warned the dastards in Tel Aviv and the dotards in Washington of the Islamic Republic's far more powerful response with hitherto unused advanced missiles in case the Zionists and their backers were to commit the blunder of attacking Iran. He said Iran's vengeance for the cowardly assassination last July in Tehran of Iranian guest, Hamas leader Ismail Haniyeh, was lawful and in accordance with international law. The leader of the Islamic Revolution also hailed as legitimate last year's Operation Al-Aqsa Storm by the Gazans, who have every right to confront the Zionist regime's unabated terrorism of the past 76 years, and was fully confident of the success of Lebanon's legendary anti-terrorist movement, the Hezbollah, in defeating the Zionist entity despite the martyrdom of its leader, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. The axis of resistance is now more than determined to bring Israel and its criminal backers to their knees, since the cherished goal of all the conscientious people is the liberation of Palestine by carrying the struggle to the enemy's camp. This became evident recently by the heroic incursion into the northern parts of occupied Palestine by the famed Red One Brigade of Hezbollah, which, according to the last reports, has taken control of Qirat Shemona and so far captured a number of Israeli troops, in addition to killing and injuring a large number of them. Meanwhile, Crescent International Road, after weeks of threatening to attack Hezbollah with ground forces, the Zionist first attempt ended in disaster. At dawn, October 2nd, when the Zionist regime's elite commando force tried to sneak into South Lebanon, Hezbollah Radwan force was ready for them. They ambushed the infiltrating Zionist force at Odessa, causing massive casualties. The Zionist regime's so-called elite commandos fled screaming and crying in fear. The Zionist regime military has admitted that 7 of its troops were killed, bringing the total death to 8 in a few hours of combat. At least 20 others were injured. Later in the day, the Zionist regime military said in a statement that 3 of those killed were commanders and 7 other troops were critically wounded. Hezbollah, meanwhile, announced destroying 3 Israeli Merkava tanks with guided missiles. In a separate report, Sky News Arabia quoted an Israeli source as saying that 14 Israeli soldiers were killed in battle on October 2nd. Hebrew media reports said there were 20 ambulances at the border with Lebanon to evacuate the wounded. 4 helicopters were also on standby to lift them to hospitals. Israeli media reported a very unusual and extremely difficult event in the north. The Rambam Hospital in Haifa and the Ziv Hospital in Safat declared a mass casualty event in the north, while Israeli media noted that Hezbollah was shelling the border area massively using heavy firepower. Seething with anger at the cowardly assassination of Hezbollah leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah and anxious to confront the Zionist aggressors, Hezbollah resistance fighters laid out a careful trap for them. The Zionists are experts at killing civilians, especially children and women, and attacking civilian infrastructure. When faced by Hezbollah's Radwan force, they fled the battlefield. The Islamic Resistance Movement said in a statement that the operation was in support of our steadfast Palestinian people in the Gaza Strip and in solidarity with its brave and honorable resistance as well as in defense of Lebanon and its people. Hezbollah successfully confronted the invading Zionist force attempting to sneak into Lebanon through the village of Odessa from the Khalet al-Mahafer area. Hezbollah direct combat with the Zionist occupation forces came a day after Iran had launched more than 200 hypersonic missiles at Israeli regime military targets. They achieved direct hits at multiple air bases, including the ones at Tel Nof near Tel Aviv, Ramon, Hatzerim and Nevatim in the south. The latter, home to Israel's U.S.-supplied F-35 fighter planes, and completely destroyed as were 20 planes. 3 air bases have been put out of commission completely. Iran's military and Revolution Guards released video footage of the strikes, refuting Israeli and Western media claims that no damage was caused. If so, why impose a total ban on reporting of what was destroyed in Iran's missile strikes? The Iraqi Islamic Resistance Forces, meanwhile, announced that should Israel or America target Islamic Iran, not a drop of oil will flow through the Persian Gulf. Zionists and imperialist warmongers, beware! North America and Europe are risking a cold winter.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is iranradio.ir, and now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Every night and every day, every night and every day, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah, never forget to say, La ilaha illallah.
RIB English Radio, a heralder of unity and solidarity amongst Islamic denominations.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danish, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Dear brothers and sisters, dear friends, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. So, in this beautiful Hadith that we have today, Imam Zain al-Abidin, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, explains the rights of the children over their parents. You know, basically we know that the parents, mothers especially, they have rights on their children to observe. But the children also have some rights on the parents. So let's see. His Holiness says, as for the right of your child, you should know that they are from you. They are from you. It means that they are not separate from you. They belong to you. They are part of you. You are one. So whatever they do from good and bad deeds is actually what you have done. And they are connected to you with their good and bad in this world. You are responsible for what you owe them in terms of good upbringing, guiding them towards their Lord, the Almighty, and assisting them in obeying Him. So, my dear friends, brothers and sisters, especially if you are parents or to be parents, you know, make sure that you take time and make time for your children. Either you teach them yourselves, especially with your own behavior, because they would look at you more than they listen to you. They would look at you and learn. What you do, they do. What you are, they will be. So, first of all, try to correct your behavior, your life, your lifestyle. Then they will learn.
And then tell them, be this, be that. For example, Luqman, the wise in Quran, Allah narrates him that he would who would advise his child, my dear son, be this, be like this, don't be like that, etc. So try to make time for your children, or at least, even if it's necessary, pay some money for someone who can teach your child, a teacher. It could be even online. It could be someone who is wise, even from your relatives. This is something necessary. It may cost something. Okay, that's worth it. Therefore, the rest of the hadith says, therefore, act in their affairs as someone who knows that they will be rewarded for doing good to them and punished for doing wrong. You know that even after death, the parents would get something from what their children do. You know, that's one of the baqiyat al-salihat. It could be, you know, that the children, if they do any good deeds, some share of that would get to their parents in the, you know, in the world after life, in the barzakh world. So, inshallah, make sure of that. Make sure that you take time for your children. Do what is necessary to teach them about God, about religion, what they should know, and the rest of it. Inshallah, have a good time with your children. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Danesh, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello, welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, the prison break on October the 7th by Palestinian resistance fighters from Gaza marked a new day in history for the Palestinian people. It was a victory after facing so many defeats since the Balfour Declaration 1917, in which the British promised Palestine to the Zionists. The native population has been fighting the Europeans and their American cousins. In 1948, Israel was declared a state on the land of the Palestinians. From wars to diplomatic attempts, the Palestinian nation has faced a lack of success in regaining the right to their land. But on October 7, 2023, a new era was begun, with Palestine now becoming the top news story in the world. But I'd like to welcome my guests to the program. Khaled Barakat, spokesperson, Masar Badr Movement, out of Beirut. And Arnaud Agus, author and journalist, out of Montreal.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.